And good morning. It is 16 minutes after 8 a.m. You're tuned to your community radio station, Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Joining me in the studio, I have Jennifer Cedarleaf and Vicki Vosberg here to talk about the upcoming Christmas bird count, which is happening on January 1st. Welcome to Morning Edition, ladies.
Good morning.
Let's see. So we did a little math earlier before going on air to find out how many Christmas bird counts have happened in Sitka. And we're looking at about 42 years of Christmas bird counts.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And there are 117 years of bird counts that have happened across the nation. I think we should start by talking about what the Christmas bird count is. Who would like to talk about that?
Well, the Christmas bird count first began in 1900. Before that, it was a Christmas tradition to do the annual Christmas side hunt. And what that was is people would choose sides, and they would do a hunting competition, and they'd go out and kill as many things as they could, both birds and mammals. But as you can imagine, that's really not a great thing for the environment. And that was about the time that people were discovering that wildlife was finite. We were destroying our resources. They were not endless, like everyone thought at one point. And so a group of people decided to turn the Christmas side hunt into a Christmas bird count. And there were 25 counts done that year by 27 people. And they counted 18,500 birds. Now we're counting millions of birds every Christmas, and the Christmas bird count is occurring all over the world, not just the United States.
Mm. And it's called the Audubon Christmas Bird Count, so is it sponsored by the Audubon Society?
That's correct, mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about logistics of how it works here in Sitka. There's a planning meeting coming up this evening, 6 p.m. at the Raptor Center. What will folks learn?
So at the planning meeting, we have a bunch of preset routes that we hand out to, well, we don't hand them out. They get to choose what route they would like to take. And it's mainly along the road system. We have a 15-mile diameter circle that we count for the bird count, but a lot of it is water. A lot of it is mountain. So basically, we do the same areas almost every year, and it's mainly along the road system. So we've kind of divided up into chunks. It's out Halibut Point Road, it starts, and goes all the way out Sawmill Creek to the end of the road. And people can pick small areas, or we have some larger areas. Some people like to do the same routes every year, so I think we already have some signed up for certain routes. It's good, though, because it does cover, I mean, we're not covering our entire circle, but we're covering the same areas every year. So, and we do need people to go out in boats, and I hear that it's going to be hopefully sunny on Sunday. So if anybody's out there who wants to count birds and has a boat or would like to take some birders out to count birds, you come to the meeting tonight. And then after we go through the routes, Matt Goff shows a slideshow of birds that are commonly seen this time of year in the Sitka area, and he's probably going to have a few photos of some interesting birds that we saw this summer and fall here in Sitka that were unusual. So
what kind of equipment do people need to take out with them, especially if they're not necessarily familiar with all the bird species?
Basically, you just need binoculars.
But a digital camera sure is nice to have.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Sometimes it's difficult to identify a bird, especially if you're a new birder. And if you can get photos, you can bring them back to the meeting afterwards, and we can help you identify them. And if you see a rare bird, we really want photo documentation to confirm that that unusual bird was in Sitka. If we see an unusual bird, Jen and I actually have to fill out a rare bird form, and so it would be great to have photos to accompany that form.
So volunteers are going out looking for every bird that they can find and noting down on a check sheet
mm-hmm.
what birds they found.
Yeah, and they'll get there when they come to the meeting tonight and sign up for their routes, they'll also get a check sheet that they turn into us so we can enter all the data into the computer after the count.
So where does all this data go and what's it used for? How is it useful?
Jen and I spend a lot of time after the count entering data into a website, the Audubon website. It goes first to our regional compiler, and he goes through the data and makes sure it all makes sense. Jen and I were contacted by our regional compiler a couple years ago because we went from about 5 Eurasian collared doves to about 80 in 1 year. And he was wondering if that was a typo or what was going on. And it just turns out, one, they're here and they're breeding. And two, we got some new people to join the count, and they had a bunch of doves at their feeders. So our count went up. But their job is to just make sure that things make sense.
Especially for the rare birds that we might have. I think that year we also had a couple of, like the wood duck or something. We had some weird birds, and he was like, really?
So that's really interesting because you have a number of factors coinciding here. It's the number of volunteers going out, how familiar they may be as birders versus, you know, the actual species that are here, and are they increasing? What's going on? It can be hard to figure out exactly what's happening, I would think, with bird species.
All this data then goes to Audubon, and you can go on the Audubon website and look at all the years past. It's all in there in an easily accessible format at this point. And Audubon uses that data to help with various studies. I think 20 reports have used the data from the Christmas bird count, and we're learning things such as back to the Eurasian collared dove. When Jen and I started running the count 10 years ago, there were none in Sitka. And now most people have seen one. They're all over the place. Another thing that I actually just learned this morning is birds are moving due to climate change. Many birds, their northernmost sighting has moved about 400 miles north due to global warming. And birds are also moving inland. They feel that is also due to climate change. So this data is very valuable to help us look at not only birds, where are they going, but are we losing some birds? The rusty blackbird over the past 20 years has crashed. We don't have that in Sitka, but down south in the 60s, there were about 13 million of them. Now there's only about 2 million of them.
So the data are really marking trends.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So bird books, would that be helpful? Bird ID books to take along?
Yeah. There's also a lot of apps out there for your phones these days. So if you don't want to carry something extra, I think there's a couple of free ones out there that you could download onto your phone if you have a smartphone. So what do we have? Binoculars, camera, bird book. Checklist.
Okay.
Checklist is always good. I know a lot of people like to start their, a lot of people that are birders anyway, because we're nerds, like to start their new year doing just a big day count, like to see how many species you can get the first day of the year. So this is pretty convenient for that.
And you wanted to let folks know they should fill their bird feeders.
Yes. We always forget to tell people that. If you have a feeder in your yard, could you please make sure it has food in it? They're great spots to get a lot of birds. They tend to flock in that area where they're getting food, so it makes it easier to spot birds and count birds. So,
and we talked about how people go out on routes birding, but you can also do a feeder count as an important part of the Christmas bird count. Feeder counters count a little bit differently than route counters. If you're counting a route, you count every single bird that you see. If you're counting your feeder, you look at your feeder and say you count 5 juncos, and then 10 minutes later, you look at your feeder and you count 6 juncos. You don't report that as 11 birds. You report it as the most birds you saw. So that would be a report of 6 juncos, because we assume that the same juncos are coming back to your feeder and over again. being a feeder counter is a great way for a person to start out in the Christmas bird count. Because in general, you only have to identify a couple species of birds. You can get good pictures. If you don't know exactly what they are, we can help you identify them. And your data is very valuable to us.
Okay. And I also hear reports that there are some banded juncos out there.
Yeah. Kitty LaBounty and Matt Goff have been working with Gwen Ballas of the, I think she works for the Forest Service, if I'm wrong. Sorry, Gwen. And she's been coming for about 3 or 4 years now banding juncos. And so if you see a junco that has bands on it, they've been putting color bands on them, so it'd be good to note what leg each color is on, and like if there's a white one above a blue one or a yellow one, or that would be really good to note, and we can get the information back to Gwen.
Okay. So really quick, Jen, your most memorable experience during the Christmas bird count.
So I was just saying, I talk about this all the time, but it was pretty exciting for me because it was a life bird. And a life bird is you count it the first time you see a particular species of bird. So for me, I don't even know how many years ago it was, maybe 4 or 5. We were out at the end of Salmo Creek Road and I saw this bird and I thought, that's a weird bird. It really looked like a gray-crowned rosy finch, but they're not here. And then I looked again, and sure enough, it was a gray-crowned rosy finch. So that was the first one I'd ever seen, and I've seen a lot since then because I've traveled to places that have them more commonly than we do. But apparently they live in higher altitudes here and may come down when it snows, or I don't know if this guy was just wandering and we happened to catch him. So that was really exciting for me, though.
All right.
It's very exciting for Jen because she has seen so many birds, it's hard for her to get a lifer to see a new bird. So
especially here in Sitka.
Yeah.
Vicki, have you had a most memorable moment?
Oh, I don't know that I have one specific moment that I remember. I just have very fond memories of Christmas bird counts. It's a day that Jen and I spend the whole day doing what we love. We ignore all of our other responsibilities.
Unless it's an animal emergency.
Well, that's true. and drive around and enjoy this beautiful town we live in and look at birds.
Okay. So that's 6 p.m. tonight, planning meeting for the Christmas bird count at the Raptor Center. Anyone who's interested can come on down. What if folks can't come down but they still like to volunteer? How can they get a hold of you?
They can call either Victoria or myself on our cell phones. My number is 738-0181. And Victoria's is 738-8661.
Great.
And I'd also like to say, if anybody wants to come to the slideshow, they're welcome, even if you don't want to count birds. It's Matt takes beautiful photos, so it's always fun to just see the photos of Matt's birds.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for coming down this morning.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We've been speaking with Jennifer Cedarleaf and Vicki Vosburgh. The annual Christmas bird count's coming up, and there is a planning meeting tonight, 6 p.m. at the Raptor Center.